Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, my God. You know, I found out something on today. I looked at something. I Googled it. On Sunday, at the spur of the moment during the worship, I felt impressed of the Lord. There's a song that came up in my heart. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is at residence here. And, you know, when I was in England, you know, you go around Buckingham Palace and the flag, if the queen is there, you know, the flag would be flying. You just see the in the breeze. And go say, people ride by, say, oh, the queen is in, you know. And but if the queen isn't there, they ride by, say, oh, the queen's not here. But wherever the queen is, the flag is flying. Oh, glory to God. Because they have more than one place that they reside at, in royal palaces. And so I found out something. I thought this was interesting. In 1977, right after Princess Diana died in that accident, the queen was not around. She was at one of the other royal palaces. And so the flag was not flying. And so there was such a public outcry because they considered Princess Diana to be royalty. The flag was not flying, and it was not, and it wasn't, so it wasn't at half mast either. Usually when somebody, royalty died, the flag is lowered to half mast. So none of that was going on. And so the queen changed everything, because it had been said for the first time up until 1997 that if the queen or the king is not in the palace, no flag is flying. And the queen said, I want the flag flying all the time. A royal decree. Yeah, a royal decree. And so the flag is flying all the time. And we, as believers, we need to let people know that the king is at residence here. He's within you. Amen. And one of the ways we know he's there is because of the joy. Amen. The joy that's on the inside. And joy is that flag waving. Amen. You know, it's real easy to get depressed looking at stuff. How long, Lord? What did I ever do? Why me, Lord? And you can get the just focusing on that, and you can forget who's on board. And 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So where is he at? Amen. He's not off somewhere on a hunting trip. He's not going on an 80-day trip around the world and left you. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Where is God? He's in us. Amen. So glory to God. So the flag is flying all the time. That way you need to have joy all the time. Amen. The joy, need to express it all the time, regardless of what's going on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord and let's rejoice and thank God. Hallelujah for his goodness. Thank you, oh God, right now for the manifestations, demonstration. We thank you for the visitations of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice and we thank you tonight for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you shall continue to do. We rejoice and we thank you, and we give you the glory, give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Hallelujah. And we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, O God, that you are good and you're good all the time. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now voice shall continue to magnify you and praise you. Hallelujah. All the days of our life. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, our best days are ahead of us. Amen. Where are they? They're ahead of us, not behind us. Some people living life just looking in the rearview mirror. Oh, I remember when. Oh, I remember when. Did I tell you about the time? Hey, God said, I know the future that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. Amen. He said, I know. But we always talk about what is back there as though God can not improve on what's back there. God said, I can go way above and beyond what you've already seen. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hey, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. One translation said he wants to give us an expected end. Amen. And then look at verse 12. It says, then you will call upon me. And what? You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. God said, I'm listening. Amen. Oh, he's listening. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. Is there a time that the Lord don't hear your prayer? No. Oh, hallelujah. So you can have great confidence. Hallelujah, that when you pray, you're doing some kingdom business, he's listening. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the confidence. We have the petitions that we've asked of him. Amen. Hallelujah. We have confidence that he's going to do exactly what he said he would do in his word. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, today I have a title for the message today. And it's who are you imitating? Who are you imitating? Yeah, we should be. We should be doing a lot of things. But in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll just launch from there. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Amen. Be ye imitators of who? Of God as dear children. Also, I want you to turn your attention to the book of Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. We have been talking about calling things that be not. Calling them. You know, there are people that are trying to tell you, persuade you not to do that. And I encourage you just to ignore them. But here in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Show what? the same diligence to the assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We are to do what? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Also, we've found in Ephesians 5:1 to be imitators of God. Now, you have to go on throughout the scriptures and study God really before you can imitate him. You don't know what it's like. There are a lot of people talking about God that they don't have a clue how God does anything. But they're talking about God. They think they're having an intelligent conversation and never even read the scriptures. Remember a couple of things maybe from Sunday school if they went. And some people got to the point where they said there is no God. Well, the Bible tells us about people that say that too. It said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not going to imitate the fool. I'm going to say there is a God. Amen. As Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there is a God. He is alive. He does care about you. He is listening to you. He does want to walk with you each and every day. And he wants you to operate the same way he operates. Why? Because you're created in his image. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Oh, glory to God. God is not selfish. Amen. Let them have dominion. In other words, God said, you can have some say so about some things. Oh, my, my. Wow. Who are you imitating? First of all, we find out we're supposed to imitate God. Secondly, we find out we're to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. You know, I was an example of something that happened to me personally. Dealing with funds for the church. You know, I kind of know pretty much what funds normally be like, you know, for the month, for sometimes for the week. Every now and then I get surprised, you know, and the surprise can go either way. And so, and I told the Lord, and one of the things I would do many times, I was like, well, I'm gonna make sure everything's taken care of, da, da, da. You know, I'm not going to get a check, you know. And then, you know, I told myself, I said, you know what? You need to believe God and just go on. And, so I went ahead and got a check anyway. And, of course, I prefer a big balance. And it wasn't as big as I would like for it to be. But nevertheless, I just said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it and trust God. And then I knew what was coming up expense-wise. And I said, well, God, you spoke to me earlier this year. And you told me that you have released your angel to undergird me and bring me into a safe place. And then you said, therefore, do not fear, for all will be well with you, saith the Lord. And so I just told him, I said, Lord, you have some things you need to take care of. You need to catch up on some things. And I just left it at that. And anytime the thought of it would come back in my mind, I would just respond the same way. Amen. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, if you inherit the promises, you inherit the premises. Amen. Now, we have been looking at the life of Abraham. And in looking at the life of Abraham, we see that Abraham, he's called the father of faith. Romans chapter 4. He's called the father of faith. You know, the Bible is real simple You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm always looking for something new. I'm looking for something new. I need to hear something new. Well, have you walked in what you already heard? Are you walking in what you already heard? We have to ask ourselves that question. Where are we? And I think I enumerated on Sunday how the Lord has led us progressively from one stage to the other. One place to the other. And let me say this too. You have to be careful who you hang around with. You can't just hang around with everybody. Because everybody is not trying to be like the Lord. And everybody don't want to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. And you got to be careful that you don't cast your pearl before the swine. You got to know who the swine are. Amen. You ever had such a great idea and you went to talk to some other people about it and they just talk you out of it? It's all, oh, well, that just dismiss what you said. And yet, you know, said, man, this was God. This was God. And they just totally dismissed it. Wow. You got to know who to share things with and who to not share things with. And so here I am. I'm like, OK, God, what do we do next? OK, so I'm looking at Abraham. Well, I'm looking at the life of Abraham. I said, well, this is where Abraham lived. From the book of Romans chapter 4. I love verse 18. Romans 4:18. The Bible talking about Abraham said that. I'll read it from King James first. New King James. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of what? Many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and he was in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not, notice what he did not do. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. The question comes up. Do you really believe that God can do what God said he can do? And it really has nothing to do with anybody else. It really has to do, are you convinced? And if you are convinced, then you got to observe those who through faith and patience obtain the promises. And do what they did. And in looking at Abraham, in the natural, it was impossible for what God said to come to pass. In the natural. Everybody would agree. Abe, I don't think it's going to happen, Doc. I think your days are over. And your wife, now, you know, if you sit around once God tell you something, if you sit around and listen to people that will tell you that you can't and prove it to you naturally. If you keep sitting there, you're going to lose everything God told you. You get to the point that, well, maybe that wasn't God. I've seen it happen time after time after time. And I've learned a few things. I've learned when to get up and move. I've learned how to cut conversations. It's that. Well, hold on a minute. I got to go to the bathroom. Hold that thought and then don't come back. and then go repent. God, I'm sorry. I sat there too long. And that's why it's so important to write down what the Lord speaks to you. Write it down. I always say a short pencil is better than a long memory. You know, if you write it down, And one of the things I also do, anytime the Lord speak a word to me, I like to transcribe it. There's, and and whether I transcribe it freehand or typing or whatever, it's good for your eyes to see certain things. When we go back to Proverbs chapter 4, matter of fact, just hold your place there in Romans and flip over to Proverbs chapter 4. There's something about your eyes visually seeing things. And that things begin to happen for you that it doesn't happen any other way. Now, you know, if God gives a prescription for something, it's in your best interest that you do what he say do the way he say do it. You know, my wife, she's a pharmacist. And when a doctor writes a prescription, then she transcribes whatever he scribbles and types it out legibly where everybody could understand it with specific instructions of what to do. Now, God has given us specific instructions of what to do. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 20, the scripture says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes or from your sight." So in other words, your eyes need to be involved with what God said. Your physical eyes need to be involved with what he said, with what he spoke. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. That's in your soul. Okay. Notice the two sights here. The sight, the eyes of the body and the eyes of the spirit. On the soulish realm, we need to see. We see them with these physical eyes first. Then through meditation, we began to visualize on the inside. There's an inner image that begins to develop. There are a lot of people trying to do things in life and they have no inner image of where they're headed. And you're not going to go but so far. If something happened, it's just grace, just a miracle. But we can walk this way on purpose, just like Abraham walked this way on purpose. Just like the Father God operates this way on purpose. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 tells us that God calls things that be not as though they were. So in other words, God has an inner image of what he expects to manifest. But he doesn't just all of a sudden begin talking. He takes time to internalize what he desires. And then he speaks it out. Now, when he speaks, he already see it on the inside. Again, we're imitating those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And this is the way God operates. And this is the same way he intends for us to operate, to walk this way. So it says, let them not depart. Keep them. Let's see, verse 21 again. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Notice he gives some specific instructions here. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. And we're just not going through life. We're doing things on purpose. That's why I made this statement before. When I win in life, I'm not surprised. Because to win in life, you have to plan to win. You have to prepare to win. You have to expect to win. In other words, it's all on the inside before you see it on the outside. Amen. Can everybody say, everything begins within? Amen. Everything begins within. And you have to take time Hear this. You have to take time. It's so important that you take time and get the right image on your inside. You have to take time. Look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. David got a hold of these things. It was interesting. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Psalms chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Everybody has an opinion. And one theologian by the name of Jeanette Battle said, opinions are like noses. Everyone has one. Amen. Said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." You know, there are some things on TV I won't watch. There are some things on the radio I won't listen to. There are some things that will take you further away from your destiny if you give your time to that and feed on it. And you'll never come to the place where you develop to that place that God wants you to develop to. Look at verse 2. It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates" how often? Yeah, I've heard people say, "Boy, you read the Bible too much." You know, I've actually had people tell me, and it's kind of interesting. I was like, the audacity for you to tell me that. Yeah, you read the Bible too much. There are other, you know, philosophies out there. You need to get involved in all these other philosophies so you can be well-rounded. I say, I'm round enough. Yeah, and not that I don't read other things. I do read other things. But hear this, I base it on what God said first. Because again, the scriptures is specific. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I don't have to pray about who I should imitate. God already told me who I should imitate. We know that David is a man after God's own heart. And he's given some specific instructions here. Psalms chapter 1. Notice he said the person that meditates in God's word day and night. Notice what's going to happen. Verse 3. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." You talking about stability? You talking about stability? And you know something that this world is missing? Stable people. I mean, You listen to the media and everything now. If you just spend all your time listening to it, they will dumb you down. And you'll never rise to your potential. It's amazing the things that get the most press today. I'm like, who's behind the scene determining this? They're not doing it in our best interest. You know what's happening? They're dumbing you down so they can control you. But God created you so that you didn't have to be controlled. You can determine your own destiny. But they don't want you to find out about that. They want you always to be bowing down to them and looking and with your hands out to them. But yet, God created you to be a creator, just like he's a creator. My God. To operate just like him. And so you have to disconnect from some things. I mean, just think about it. Think about this. Who is number one in the news? Who's number one in social media? Yeah, I mean, well, you got Donald Trump and then you got some other names. The top five people. If you look at the top five people that they talk about mostly on television. Oh, yeah, the Kardashians. And always talking about somebody's butt. Everybody got a butt. Why are you going to be fascinated by somebody else's butt? You got your own butt. But I mean, so much attention. But there are people behind the scenes that are driving this. And there are people that have an umbilical cord connected to it. Oh, my. That's so sad. When these people that are connected to it have the potential to do anything in life. To be anything in life. Oh, my. And then, but you notice it begins by them discrediting this book first. You got to break this book down. Our nation became great because of this book and what's written in it and people acting on it. People want to come to this nation because we acted on this book. Down through the last couple hundred, 200, 300 years, people have been acting on this book that brought us to where we are, where we became the greatest nation on earth. But then I discover there are some people that realize they can control people and manipulate people. And they call that the golden rule. He has the gold, makes the rules. And you don't have to be godly to control people. You just got to have enough resources and feed people continually. And even if they don't believe it in the beginning, if they keep listening to it, eventually they begin to think that way. They begin to think that way. You become what you eat. Think about it. If all you eat is hot dogs, guess what you're going to be? A hot dog. Yeah. But then on the other hand, if all you do is spend most of your time, like the scripture said, meditating in God's word day and night, guess what you're going to become? A world overcomer. And there is nothing that will be impossible for you. Absolutely nothing. Oh, my God. Absolutely nothing will be impossible for you. And you'll be stable. And people are like, so why this guy so why this girl so stable? Why this family so stable? Well, because Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 7 about the kind of house, the rock that you build on, whether you build on the rock or you build on the sand. What are you feeding? You know, you can feed on sugar all the time, or you can feed your body proteins. And protein is a building block. Sugar, it'll hurt you. But people that get into bodybuilding, they're not into sugar. Yeah, they're not into sugar. Now, that's such a simple analogy, and if you know that, then why wouldn't you spend your time doing it? Why would you let other people talk you out of it? Make you think that you're missing it. You're not missing it. You're doing the right thing. Notice what happens here, verse number 3 again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in what? Its seasons. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Amen. And now we have to help our church. We have to help the society, those that we have influence with. We have to help them to see this. Why are you doing this? Why are y'all always in church? I'm like, why are you always in the bar? We choose where we want to go. And there's an end result for wherever we go. You know, I said that because people say stuff to you like you don't watch their life. Mm-hmm. Why are you always in the restaurant? I mean, don't let people get away with you, you know. Slide remarks and they just walk off from you and you left thinking about what they said. Give them something to think about. Praise the Lord. When I read this last part of verse 4, verse 3, it says, whatever he does shall prosper. That got my attention. And I began to backtrack and reading, what is it that I have to do? That whatever I do will prosper. I have to be careful who I hang around with. I have to be careful what I feed on. I have to be careful what I think about. I mean, it's not rocket science. If we can get a hold of the right information, and hear this, just began to apply it. Nothing really happens overnight. It can begin overnight, but it takes time. You know, I just mentioned that our granddaughter, Tanisha, she just got her learner's permit. Well, you know, I can think back when Tanisha was born. Okay? But, you know, that was almost 17 years ago. And through faith and patience and learning, and she's come to where she is now. It didn't happen overnight. You know, sometimes people are going like, man, where did this come from? Like they just came up overnight. Yep, it was a long night. Faith and patience. Someone preached, faith and patience are the power twins. And you need to work them together. The power twins. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 4 again. We're going to try to wrap this up here. Romans 4, verse 21 again. Speaking of the words, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. To all your flesh. And look at verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be what? Established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. I mean, it's real simple. Who are you imitating? Who are you imitating? Huh? Now, I say our best days are ahead of us and not behind us. They're where? Ahead of us. Now, they're ahead of us if we do what this said do. If you don't do what these scriptures say do, our best days could be behind us. Because somewhere along the line, you stop doing what you're supposed to do. As long as you're here on this earth, just keep doing what you're supposed to do. There's no substitute for winning. There's no substitute. Somebody says, well, it just may be just the way you play the game. Where you play the game, right, you win. Amen? And guess what? Walking with God, we don't play nine-inning games. We play till we win. You know, Micah chapter 7, verse 8, I think it says, if I fall, I shall arise. So if I fall down, I'm getting back up. You know, that's what babies do. I mean, that's what I observe. You know, when they're learning to walk, you know, they come like that, they'll fall down. And you encourage them, come on, get back up. And they just smile and everything. And they get back up. They may fall down again, but they get back up. That's what baby does. What do adults do? Oh, Lord. It's laying around crying all the time, whining all the time, complaining about this, that, and the other. Get up. We can change the situation. We can change the circumstance. Who are you imitating? Oh, glory to God. And my last scripture. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whatever it is that's facing you. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, that's what Jesus said. That's in the red. He said, you will have them. Somebody said, but I wanted it last night. Well, you may have wanted it last night, but if you're on the right track, just keep at it. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll get there. Amen. Huh. Why? God has set a path. All we have to do is just walk in his footsteps. That's all we have to do. Walk in his footsteps. And he has had other people. You go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame. You look and you see all the other people that did the same thing. The scripture said, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Seemed like you should get a hold, a clue after a while that faith going to be involved if you're going to attain anything. And you got to have some patience. Amen. There are some other things you can add to it, but those are the two main things that you need. And as Ephesians 1 says, I mean, 6:5:1 says, be imitators of God. So I don't have to question if I need to be an imitator of God. He's already said, be an imitator of God. And one of the ways that, one of the things that God does, he continuously speaks. He continually declares what it is that he desires. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus, the father said that Jesus was going to come into the earth. There's going to be a redeemer. That's in Genesis 3:15. Well, Jesus didn't show up on the earth until the New Testament through faith and patience. God calls things that be not as though they were. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he had a promise from his father that he would be raised up. He had a promise that his soul would not see corruption. And guess what? He went to the cross. He died because he stood on his father's word. And the father sent the Holy Spirit, raised him up, and he continued to do what he was sent to do. And guess what? Jesus is still doing what he was sent to do. Amen. So let us make this declaration, because 2015 is our year of fulfillment. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I mean, it's coming into fruition. There are some things that's coming into fruition. Some things that you have not physically seen with your eyes. Some things that you don't physically possess. In 2015, God says it's going to be a year of fulfillment. Amen. Oh, glory to God. So repeat after me. We live and move in the supernatural as easy as a bird flies through the air and as easy as a fish swims through the water. Today I declare I have supernatural strength. I have supernatural stamina. I have supernatural provisions. I have supernatural wisdom. I have supernatural wealth. I have supernatural health. I have supernatural favor. I have supernatural peace. I have supernatural faith. I have supernatural grace. I have supernatural life. I have supernatural joy. I have supernatural hope. I have supernatural love. I have supernatural forgiveness. I am a supernatural giver. I am a supernatural receiver. I have supernatural fire. I have supernatural relationships at church, at home, on my job, in my community, and throughout the world. God has spoken and said he has released his angel to undergird us and bring us into a safe place. Therefore, do not fear, for all will be well with us, saith the Lord. The Lord is strengthening us. He's establishing us, and he is settling us right now in Jesus' name. Through faith and patience, we are inheriting everything God promised to us. This year is our year of fulfillment. in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. This year. Hallelujah. Everybody want to talk about 2016. No, we still in 15. Thank you. 2015. There are some things that are yet to be seen. And we're going to take some pictures of it and say, yep, we took possession. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.